America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Guardians, Tigers. Guardians can take control in a five-game series. They took control in game one, 7-0, 5 in the first inning against a bullpen game for the Tigers. If you were watching it on TV, you heard this man call the action. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He's the play-by-play man. Does a great job on everything he does. And he's Brian Anderson.
It's the other Brian Anderson. The other one we really like.
Hello, BA.
The other one. We got a lot. We got to get that straight.
Well, the other BA.
There's a few of us.
Yeah. As long as you guys are getting the right checks, that's okay. Although BA's down in Tampa, so he's got to make sure he's got his house cleared out today. But we're praying for all those people with the bad weather down there. But
yeah.
Great job calling the game the other day. I thought you're fantastic. Absolutely. Energy first inning. Outstanding.
With Jeff Francoeur on TBS, and you can watch it again today coming up 4 o'clock. First inning. What a disaster if you're A.J. Hinch and you're thinking, I'm going to go bullpen game and I don't even get an out. Now what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I think Frenchie said it best, couldn't have started worse, and then it got worse immediately. But, that's the whole piece to the Stephen Vogt Guardians puzzle, is to try to disrupt those organized, the organized chaos that A.J. Hinch is going to unleash. And now Stephen Vogt's kind of in that mode. I mean, I know Matthew Boyd's making the start, and he pitched beautifully for the Guards in his 8 starts, but he's a bit of a hired hand here, and I'm sure the lease is going to be very short, 3-4 innings, I would imagine. Third time through is always a marker, so I think now the tables will be a little bit turned, because Skubal is one of those guys you can kind of let ride a little bit, and it's a bit of a reset. So yeah, it was a great start for Cleveland. Whatever questions there were about, the timing and rhythm of their offense, I was concerned about it because I do this every year, and it's a major factor. It's a major story with managers every season about what to do for those who get the bye. I mean, Brian Snitker just wrestled with it and did a complete 180 from 2 years ago to what he did last year. Neither one of them worked. Dave Roberts, they got swept last year by Arizona when they had the layoff. So to come out and drop a 5 spot in the first inning, really before there was an out, what a monumental achievement that was for a team that hasn't seen live pitching in a week.
Hey, what'd you think of the energy in that? It was jumping through the screen if you were watching at home, and the ballpark was really, really rocking. I'm just curious. I love hearing it from people who aren't from Cleveland, just to kind of get your take on what the ballpark was like and the energy, and really, truly taking advantage of home field advantage.
It was just like I thought it'd be, and just like I remembered when I called playoff games here a decade ago. It's just, it's hopping. It's awesome. It's and it starts early. You can just hear music pouring out of different corners of downtown that are kind of, where we sit up top. It's a great scene as you look over the left field wall, and, you can kind of see the crowd building up outside the ballpark, and it was great. I mean, it's such a, Midwest baseball fans. I live and work in Milwaukee, so I'm partial to it. Get a bad rap. But, in the Midwest, we make you earn our money. if we're going to pay for tickets and if we're going to come out, you got to earn it as a team. That means we're going to have days and years when the ballparks aren't full every day. But, when you're winning and you're playing well and you're worth spending our money for, we're going to show up, and that's what Midwesterners do, and it's a beautiful scene. And man, I'm glad you said it came across that way. We're always trying to find that balance between making sure the crowd is heard versus us being heard. but we have a great audio team who spends a lot of time laying out these microphones to make sure that is picked up and you can feel that at home. So yeah. Thank you for saying that. And I thought it was a glorious scene, and it'll be the same in Detroit in a couple of days too. There's all playoff venues are pretty great this time of year.
Brian Anderson joining us. You'll hear him on TBS today. Play-by-play Guardians game 2 against the Tigers with Jeff Francoeur. The offense struck early. the other day and then didn't strike much the rest of the game. Is offense still a concern for the Guardians in this series, in your mind?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's fair. It's totally fair, and it needs to be. I mean, their overall OPS was not great in the second half. It's just kind of a, you know, middle-of-the-pack offense that is made a lot better. And I mean this in a way of confidence for a hitter, knowing your bullpen is so great that you're always in games and you're not going to have to go score four or five runs, you know, in the back half of a game to be in a game. Guardians led the American League in comeback wins for a reason. That is a direct correlation to their bullpen and a little bit of freedom that bullpen gives their offense. So the one interesting note, and Tarek Skubal is a little different because he's, you know, he's the elite guy. He's the alpha dog in the American League and is going to win the Cy Young. But the Guardians have the best OPS against left-handed starters. And that will bode well, and I think that applies to left-handed pitching in general. And they're going to see some matchup lefties come in as well. So they're better against lefties. And so I don't know if that's going to apply against Tarek Skubal. But, you know, they had 10 hits against Tarek Skubal in his only start against him. They didn't score many runs, but they did put some hits together. And if they can flip this game, then, you know, a sweep is a real possibility, even going back to Detroit. Now you start – it's so much pressure on the Tigers if you can flip this game. The Tigers, I'm not saying they punted game one, but when it got to be 5-0, you're starting to see A.J. Hinch roll out pitchers to make sure they have postseason experience for later in the series. Again, he's hoping they get outs, and the Guardians did add on. But, yeah, I think both offenses are challenged. Pitching is going to reign supreme. Ultimately, the bullpens are going to decide the series. Cleveland has the best bullpen in the game, so I like Cleveland's chances here.
Last thing, you err on the side, if you're Stephen Vogt, of taking your starter out, no matter who the starter is, too soon rather than too late based on your bullpen?
Yeah, always. I mean, with this bullpen, for sure. And, you know, there is a discussion, like I have a lot of conversations through the years when we work together, but even now with John Smoltz, Jeff Francoeur, Ron Darling, all these guys that I know and I've worked with, and you heard a little bit from Derek Jeter last night, Pedro Martinez talks about it on our broadcast. There is a little bit of a notion that overexposure to a bullpen can be a concern. And I brought this up in the broadcast in game one, because in Stephen Vogt's case, I don't think he's so much worried about overexposure of the pen. You know, we talk about starters not allowing hitters to see them a third time. The same can kind of apply to relievers, but that would show itself, manifest itself over a series. I thought last year we covered the National League and we did Diamondbacks Phillies. And I thought the Phillies ran their bullpen out too much. And by the end of that series, really the middle to the end, the Diamondbacks, they had a great look at all of their best relievers. And Phillies had a great bullpen last year. And they ended up flipping that series. You know, they won three of the last four games in that series to advance to the World Series. So I thought that was a real story last year. I don't think that's the case with the Guardians. And judging by Stephen Vogt's comments, it's almost like I said on the air, I think he wants to show his hand almost in a way to demoralize the opponent. Because, I mean, if you're facing Cade Smith and Class A and Gattis, I mean, you're looking at this situation going, I'm not sure how we do this, especially when you are playing twilight games like we're going to have tonight. I'm sure everybody, all the hitters are hoping for this cloud cover to remain in Cleveland. But yeah, if it's sunny and the shadows are a factor, good luck. I mean, it's a pitching game. And that does answer your question about the Guardians offense from Saturday. I thought the conditions were really tough to hit. Bright, sunny day, really harsh shadows. I thought for both teams, that's why Cleveland jumping on a 5-run first. You know, it kind of felt like it was game over at that point.
Brian, we know you're busy today. Thank you for your time. We'll get you back on, we hope, down the road when we can just bust chops like crazy.
Yeah, we need a national TV game with both Brian Andersons. That would make us happier.
I'm ready. But Eddie was just texting me. I said, you can call the middle three innings if you want. So whatever. We welcome all comers. I told Tom Hamilton he can come over if he wants. Everybody's welcome on TV.
Let's get him in the Hall of Fame. He's up for the Hall of Fame
there
again,
you go.
Too, for Cooperstown.
I don't care if he's in or not. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yes, he is.
He's a Hall of Famer. No matter, and he's a Hall of Fame person and just one of my favorite people in the world. And, of course, he's a cheeser.
That's
me,
true.
So we love the guy.
Brian, thanks, buddy. We appreciate your time today.
Great to be with you again.
Thank you.
You can hear him on TBS today with Jeff Francoeur, game 2, 4:08, whatever it is, starting right around 4 o'clock as the Guardians with a chance to take control.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Control of the series. Can they get to the bullpen with a lead or a close game? Because if they can, a 2-0 lead in a best-of-5 series. Jeff Phelps, Andy Baskin.
I think they can. I was just looking through the numbers of him historically and through the last year. And, you know, yeah, he's got the last 2 wins in his last 2 starts against the Guardians. But, I mean, there's a history there that says, hey, maybe they can get to him. You know, especially, you know, a couple no decisions. You know, at first 2 times that the Guardians faced him, although it was back in 21, you know, they beat him there. So I'm just looking at the 8 career outings he has against this franchise. Who knows, man? It's playoffs, you know, and I love the fact they won the first game because even if he is the true Cy Young Award winner that no one can beat, you still have an opportunity to win the series without beating him. So that I think that's why game 1 was so important. It was gigantic.
The one thing I think about this game with Scooble, a couple of things really stand out. Though the Guardians were able to get 10 hits off him when they saw him earlier this year, opponents are hitting .201 against him. So he's been very difficult to hit. And to me, this is a key stat. He's second in the majors this year, tied for second, with 22 quality starts. And that means you go 6 innings and give up 3 or fewer runs. That to me means, okay, you're going to be hard pressed to score runs against this guy. If you want to be in this game, and I think Stephen Vogt can, I think he will, manage, like, you know, it's a one run game late, and they're going to try and manufacture runs at all costs. Now, to me, that doesn't mean you're having Jose Ramirez bunt, Andy, but you're going to bunt a guy over today? Yeah, I think you are. You know, you're going to do everything you can to try and manufacture, move a guy over, you know, hit the ball the other way. I think you're going to do everything you can to get anything on the board against Scooble.
I think that when you go back and look at game 1, and it doesn't matter who the pitcher is, the approach they had at the plate just for the first couple of batters. So, you know, Kwan leads off the game with a double. Okay, that was 2 pitches. But then Fry ends up walking in the 2-hole. He took 8 pitches. And then Ramirez came back and took 7. So, I mean, you're 15 pitches in on 17 pitches total, but 15 pitches in on your first 2 batter or second and third batter, right? So 8 and 7. Man, you have those 7, 8 pitch at bats. Those are going to help, especially when you go up against a guy like him.
One concern here, and I think it's only one concern, Matthew Boyd, former Tiger, of course, came back and was really effective for this team and very, very solid. And his last several starts, maybe not as solid as you'd want them to be. Hasn't gotten out of the 5th inning in the last 3 starts. Now, in this situation, you don't need him to get out of the 5th.
3-4, baby. That's it.
Yeah, but he didn't get out of the 5th inning and gave up runs in the process. And that's kind of rough. And so we'll see. I think he's got to be better than he was. Last start of the year, he went 4, gave up 2 earned against the Cardinals. Before that, went 2 2/3, gave up 3 earned, or 3 total, 2 earned against the Twins. And in the start before that, went 4 1/3 and gave up 4 runs, 1 earned on 6 hits against your beloved Chicago White Sox.
Oh, I love them. They're my favorite team. You know that.
I know.
But Grady's not getting the job. No, I don't love them anymore.
I agree. Larry's in Cleveland. Hi, Larry.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, I'd like to say, man, I'm glad the Guardians, man, is playing excellent. They got high tempo. He's got high energy. He's confident, man, and they're all away, man. He's all about money.
Larry. We love what you're – listen, Larry, we love what you're saying. Take it off speakerphone, please.
All right. Hold on.
There you go. Now we can hear you.
Order a cheeseburger while you're there. All right. All right, Larry, sorry.
All right, we gave it a shot.
That was a mess.
Folks, if you hit the air, take it off speakerphone. We'll give you a second. Just go, oh, got to switch it over. But not if you're driving. So
we want you to be safe while you're driving.
Yeah.
So, you know, but, you know, if you're going to order lunch, do it before or after your phone call with
us. Well, they don't, in fairness to them, they don't know when you're going to pick up the phone, when you're going to
answer. I know, but if you're on hold, you know, be careful.
It's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the way to be?
I'll take a cheeseburger. Oh, let's talk some sports. A hamburger. You'll have nothing like it. And then.
Who's the key guy today for the Guardians?
I think
against the top pitcher in the American League who happens to throw left-handed.
I just think it's approach. I don't know that. Are we talking offensively? Yep. Are you talking about? Yeah. Yep. Offensively, I mean, just go back as I was doing this before. Look how many, especially early on in the game, how many batters got to 6, 7, 8 pitches in their at-bats? I don't care who you're going up against. If you can just fall off a couple when you know they're striking, the longer you make them work, especially in a playoff game where your adrenaline is sky high and you slow down that at-bat and they get a little bit longer. And like, what was I saying? It's temperatures in the 60s, I think, today for tonight's game. So I think it's the approach at the plate. That's really what I think this whole thing is about. It's the way the Guardians approach every at bat when they hit step up, and then they're not in a big hurry. You can't be. And if he's throwing them down the middle or he's throwing strikes, man, you got to follow them off. If they do that, they'll be okay. I mean, like you said, they had 10 hits against them last time. Just got to put them together the right way. So I think it's all about the approach at the plate.
Okay. Let me give you. And this is obvious, but I think it needs saying. Lane Thomas, mm-hmm. Good luck. You're a right-handed hitter, counting on you today. How about John Kenzie Noel? You know, takes one swing, Andy. And he's a guy who with one swing can change some things up. And I would assume that he will be in right field today. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So maybe this is an opportunity for John Kenzie, who's not been quite, you know, the hot hitter that he was before.
So he's got 2 at bats against him, and he has nothing. So no hits, no nothing. Our best hitter, well, Tyler Freeman, who's 3 for 6. I'm just looking at some career stats here. David Fry's got a hit against him. Jose has been outstanding, 8 for 21. A lot of guys with some real low numbers against him, though. Jimenez doesn't have a hit against him. Just looking at Kwan.
Well, the guy's been lights out. So
Noel, Rocchio, Thomas, those guys are all looking for their first hit against him.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's all right. It's a playoff game.
So, right. And
hey, don't be scared to bunt.
And that's a little different beast, you know? And that's why I think Stephen Vogt will be managing this thing like absolute crazy and will be quick to make a move with Matthew Boyd. I think we'll be quick to play the small ball game and just try and manufacture anything he can get.
Yeah, Tyler Freeman's got good numbers against him, Jeff.
Well, is that one of the reasons he's on the playoff roster?
Could be. 3 for 6.
So what are you going to do with that?
Let him hit. He's your best hitter.
Where are you going? So you're going to put him in center field today?
I don't know.
On that?
No, but you see him late in the game.
Maybe. And put Lane Thomas in right? Are you going to go
that way? That's possible, yeah. When does the lineup come out? It's going to be soon, isn't it?
Good question. It's a darn good question, Andy.
I'm looking forward to this game.
Glad
man. We need this. You know, let me tell you this. It's the best thing that ever happened to the Browns. Guardians play today, game 2. Because you can quickly turn your attention to something else.
Well, we're going to have Scott Petrak from the Chronicle-Telegram join us at 11:40. Scott was nice enough to move because Brian Anderson was only available at 11
o'clock. Was it the Morning Journal or was it News Herald that had the headline today with the Browns picture that you showed us in the beginning of the show?
It was the Morning Journal.
And what did it say?
Had a picture of Jaden Daniels scoring a touchdown. a great big picture on the front page with the headline, Guardians Play Today.
What a great headline. What a great headline. That was awesome.
You don't think that was a mistake, huh?
No, I don't. I don't. Well played. Well played.
That was kind of well played, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's really true. Mike is in Stowe, home of the Bulldogs. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, if I was to tell you, Jeff, I'm really from Monroe Falls, what would you then have to say to if I say home of the, what would you say?
Stowe, Monroe Falls, Bulldogs.
Yeah, you'd still be a Bulldog. Unless you went to Walsh or you went to CBCA.
I was a normal folk, put it that way. So, no, I did not. Hey, what I got is I like a couple of advantages I think we got going in. Number one, the weather's going to be partly cloudy instead of more likely cloudy than sunny, which is going to really help with that shadow.
See, the forecast I just saw, it looked like almost full sun early on in the game. I hope it's wrong, but.
I think you're going to see little clouds move in. It looks to me like a break kind of thing. I don't think we're going to have it all the whole time. We got to hit left foul, like you said, Andy. You're right. It's not going to be about watching them throw strikes, because if you do, you're going to be sitting on the bench.
Yep.
You foul them off. You got to make them make plays. And if we could somehow score early and get them doubting themselves again, because they were on such a high, they're such a young team, the best thing to do is just like we did the last game, get out there and get them quick. And they take the fight out of them, and get to that bullpen. If we do that, we'll be okay. Thanks, guys.
All right,
Mike. Thank you very much, Mike from Stowe, home of the Stowe Monroe Falls Bulldogs.
Look at you, Cleveland Heights University Heights, Southeast.
There it is. There it is.
Multi-city school districts. Yes.
I think Brian Anderson said something.
Mid Park Berea. I don't want to leave you off.
I don't want to look too far down the road, but he said if they can get to Schuylkill today, sweep. And I agree with that. You know, if they're going to throw another bullpen game, sweep. I think it's interesting some of the roster decisions that the Guardians made. No Ben Lively. However, if they are able to advance, we'll see Ben, I would assume, in the next series in the ALCS.
I was listening to Hammy the other day just talking about
Martinez,
how these guys.
Who's been hot. I was surprised that he's not on it, to be honest.
Hammy was talking about how those guys were locked in and engaged. Even though they didn't make the playoff roster, they were there. They were ready to.
Well,
they were very much a part of the team, whether you're able to play or not.
Which is good. Anthony's in Cleveland Heights. Anthony,
I tell you, end of the game today, so I'm pretty excited.
There you go. Got about a minute, Anthony.
I'll get to it real quick. I was not a huge fan. I mean, I wouldn't say I wasn't a huge fan of Noel. He's got a high chase rate, but against left-handed pitchers, that guy mashes breaking balls. He's got a 1.273 slugging average against left-handed pitchers on their breaking stuff. So
Menigan's nodding his head.
I'm sorry?
Menigan's nodding his head in agreement, Anthony.
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, yes, this is the perfect spot for him. A little low in the – I like him lower in the batting order, to get some protection from Kwan, 7 or 8, and yes. Get a breaking pitch and hit it out of the park.
All right, Anthony, thank you very much. Can't wait to see what Stephen Vogt does. When we get the lineup, we'll give it to you. Get ready. Game 2 is coming up. So the man who covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram, brownzone.com, where you can read his fine coverage of the team, joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
How are you guys doing?
We're okay. So let's get right to it. There have to be changes on the offense, have to be. Will they be changes that are visible to folks like us and any Browns fan, or will they be something where we're changing personnel in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question, right, Jeff? To me, there's three major moves you can make. One would be to change quarterbacks, which Kevin Stefanski said yesterday he's not going to do. One would be to fire offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey, just because – for whatever reason, the offense isn't working, and he's a key part of the changes they made in the offseason. Or the last one would be for Kevin Stefanski to give up play calling. And I've never been an advocate of that. I think he does a good job. But if you're looking at 1-4, and as bad as it is, I think there needs to be one of those major changes. And, you know, it wouldn't stun me if Stefanski changed his mind and gave up the play calling, just because I feel like they need to do something. And personnel-wise, outside of quarterback, I just don't know what you could do.
Well, you could kind of feel the dysfunction on that first offensive drive after the turnover where they had the ball deep in Washington. I mean, I just like I don't understand what happened on that play. Like, they forced themselves to kick a field goal. They couldn't burn another timeout. Deshaun's walking off the field with 20 seconds to go on the play clock because right. they have 12. Like, that's pure dysfunction.
There's no doubt. And, you know, like anything, there's a bunch of layers to it. There were too many guys on the field. There were 12 guys. They had one extra skill player. Now, that's not Watson's fault. And I don't think it's necessarily Stefanski's fault. I feel like that's, you know, he calls the play, and then the assistant coaches take care of getting the right personnel packages in. And they have a bunch of new, I mean, new this year, it's week five, but they have a bunch of new assistants on offense. So I feel like there's a breakdown there. But then, you know, I think if you got Stefanski in an honest moment, he would say that Watson should have tried to figure out the situation. Send one of the guys off and run a play. It might not be perfect, but you need to go for it there on fourth down. And with 20 seconds left, I think they could have figured out a way to get to the line of scrimmage. And I don't think he likes seeing Deshaun Watson walking toward him. I just think that's a bad look. And I don't think it's Watson quitting or anything like that. I think Watson was frustrated. But in the moment, I think you need your quarterback to take charge there and figure it out.
Scott Petrak joining us. You'll hear Scott during Kevin's press conference coming up at 12:30. Watson clearly didn't play well and hasn't played well for most of this season. And the offensive line is clearly an issue. You could say wide receivers not holding on to the football is an issue. But how are other teams able to overcome injuries on the offensive line? This team hasn't as of yet, Scott. And it looks like you're going to be dealing with them for a while. So you better figure that aspect out so you can figure out other things in the offense, no?
Yes. No, you're 100% right. And it's not all Deshaun Watson's fault. He's getting hit too often. And when a quarterback gets hit too often, he becomes skittish, for lack of a better word, mm-hmm. in the pocket and is trying to get out of there. And Watson talked after the game about, hey, I'm trying to get it out of my hand as soon as I can. But when you ask how you compensate for an offensive line that's struggling, it's with outstanding quarterback play. The quarterback knows exactly where to go with the ball. He knows exactly where the blitzes and the pressures are coming from and figures out a way to beat that. And I don't think Watson has done a good enough job in that area. And when there is time to throw, he isn't seeing the field well enough, or he runs into a sack, or he bails more quicker than he should because he's used to having to bail. There's plenty of moments yesterday where there's receivers open and Watson's moving when he doesn't have to move, or he's moving and not seeing them with his head up, whatever it is. So the answer to bad quarterback or bad line play is to have really good quarterback play, and the Browns are not getting that.
What do you think they're thinking in the front office today? It's hard not to think things are extremely horrible, but the reality of it is I don't know how many games it's going to take to win the AFC North because, they're still in it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that might be a frustrating part of it is if the Browns are only playing average and they'd won a couple of those games they could have won, Giants and Raiders, then they're right in the discussion. And, you know, Baltimore's not perfect. Cincinnati's certainly not perfect. We saw Pittsburgh last night, not perfect. So it's there for the taking, but nothing the Browns have done through five games makes it seem like they're going to be capable of taking it. So I think that's going through the front office's mind. I think they have to be questioning a lot of the roster moves they made. It's not all Deshaun Watson. It's not all coaching. And, you know, I know it's only two games, but this is just a small example. Zach Zinter, who they drafted in the third round, has not been good in two games. And, you know, maybe he'll be fine, and maybe 5 years from now he'll be a three-time Pro Bowler. But through two games, he has not been good, and that's one of your first draft picks this year, right? Your first draft pick is coming off suspension and hasn't been able to play at all. So there's plenty of areas from a roster and talent evaluation standpoint where the errors are showing up on game days.
Scott Petrak joining us, brownzone.com, where you can read all of his work. Nice piece out now by Scott. Five takeaways from another embarrassing defeat. You can go read that one at brownzone.com. If you're Kevin Stefanski and you've got to do something on offense here, what's your gut feel that is the maybe you can go back to this, maybe you can do this? Is there one thing that is sticking in your head, Scott, that you think this is the one thing that you definitely at least need to try.
Well, it might be more of a commitment to the run game and marry that with the play action passing game. And, you know, Deshaun Watson brought it up after the game yesterday. He said these teams are playing too high shell, right, where they have the two deep safeties, and they're almost daring the Browns to run the ball, and they haven't run it well enough. And, you know, I'm sure part of that is because of the offensive line issues. I just don't think they're running it well when they try to run. But maybe you spend the week committing to, okay, this is going to be it. This we're going to do less shotgun, more under center. Go back to what Kevin Stefanski is more comfortable with.
Defensively, let me skip that. I'm going to come back to defense here in a second. They had a team only meeting. They had a players only meeting last week, right? How do you come out that bad after a players only meeting? I just what was accomplished in that meeting?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think Deshaun Watson was asked about it during the week and said we meet all the time. You know, because he was asked specifically if there was a players only meeting. I thought the vibe was really good last week. I thought guys were committed to the preparation. Stefanski talked about doing more during the week so you can just be yourself on game day. And that was across the roster. I thought the locker room felt good. It didn't feel like 1-3. It felt positive. I picked the Commanders to win a close game, but I thought the Browns had a really good chance. I felt like that was almost a last stand type of thing, and they were going to come together. And they just didn't, so I don't think it's necessarily a preparation thing. I just think when they get to the game, there are so many issues that maybe just having a good week of practice, it's not enough to overcome all the problems that the Browns have right now.
Scott Petrak joining us. Scott, the defense was top-notch last year. Right now it's kind of middle of the pack. I can't say it's playing poorly. I think we can say it's tackling poorly, though. Yeah. And the last two games against the run have been atrocious. What's going on?
Yeah, it's certainly not meeting expectations, and they got a lot of the same guys back. I thought they'd be even better than they were a year ago. Tackling's been a big issue. Martin Emerson Jr. has not been the same player he was his first 2 years, and that hurts when you play as much man-to-man coverage as the Browns play and you rely on your corners to lock guys down, and he just hasn't been nearly good enough. I think those are issues. I think offenses know where the weak spots are. And when your offense doesn't score, you never get a chance to go get the quarterback. And you're always kind of playing on your back foot, and the other offense can take chances and can try to run jet sweeps and things to keep you off balance defensively. But the bottom line is they're not good enough, and this team needs the defense to be dominant, and it just hasn't been. And I think, yesterday was such a blowout, but I thought the Giants and Raiders games were chances for the defense to really make a stand and play great and carry the offense to wins, and they weren't able to do it.
Scott, outside of injury or suspension, is there any way they go to Jameis Winston? I know he said no yesterday, but yeah. I keep trying to think of a scenario where he might just say, you know what, this is not working and we need to figure something out, or we need to correct something and maybe Deshaun needs to sit one out. I'm just trying to think of that scenario, especially based on hearing the question yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I think if this happened two more games, then Kevin Stefanski will continue to get the question and maybe change his mind and maybe come to the point where, okay, I don't think you can just say you're done with Deshaun Watson. The salary cap hits the next 2 years are just too great. But could you say, we're going to sit him down for 2 or 3 weeks, let him catch his breath, see if we can just change some things, and then we're not done with Watson, right? You have to be clear about your messaging. I think there's that chance. And I understood the question after the game yesterday, and I think it makes sense to ask that. And if he made that move right now, I would understand it because this is a pivotal point in the season. But they're not there, and I think you can point, if you're the Browns, you can say there's a million other issues. It's not all Watson to not make that move. But if Watson is the reason, let's say the next 2 weeks they're bad again and he's the clear-cut reason, I think then they can reexamine and maybe make that move.
Scott Petrak joining us. Scott, thank you, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll listen for you in Kevin's press conference at 12:30.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Scott.
Scott joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans.
chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.